are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, a strong church family is not just about the present. It's also about the future. What we build today will shape the church for generations to come, and creating a culture of faith and love and service ensures that the next generation inherits a spiritually strong and welcoming church. And so how can we pass down a healthy and thriving church family to those who come after us? But before we get into that conversation, we just want to cover a few questions that we were not able to discuss yesterday because of, network challenges and all of that. But we have the pastor on the line now. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment once again.
Good morning, listeners and madam. Well, thanks so much. We are blessed this morning.
Absolutely. Very blessed to have you on once again. And thankful the network is holding up and I can hear you nice and clearly.
Exactly, madam. At least today we are somewhere. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, my dear.
Absolutely. Let's cover some of the things that we wanted to talk about yesterday. We were talking about discipleship, mentorship, and the importance of that. That was the intention. And because we were not able to get into conversation, I think it's important that we just touch on one or two of the points, maybe before we get into today's conversation. Would you maybe just give us one or two really important points that you'd have liked to have shared with us yesterday with regards to discipleship and mentorship?
Exactly. Thanks a lot, listener, this morning. Yes, yesterday we left a very important topic in which we need to cover it a bit.
Sure.
It's about discipleship and mentorship growing together in faith. You know, it's very important to know this task as Christians or as believers. God has called us for one purpose, and the purpose is to go into the world to make disciples.
Yes.
Just like the book of Matthew chapter 28, reading verse 18 up to 20. It talks about, actually, you know, the great part I like about this text, the Bible says he came to them and showed them that power has been given to Christ from heaven and on earth. So you can imagine. So in whatever we are doing in discipleship, we are using the power of God. It's not our power. It's not our power, madam. God has bestowed us power so that we make disciples in the whole world.
Mm.
And the Bible says, go and teach them, make them disciples. And actually, you know, the great part about even making disciples is you make your friend a disciple, and also that friend goes to another person, makes a disciple.
Yes.
So it's something which every Jim and Jack is involved in this task. This is what God has left for us.
Mm.
Actually, you know, in addition to that, I was even thinking about this text of Luke chapter 10, verse 1. You can read verse 9 also. It talks about also how Christ gave them power and sent them two by two. Oh, you know, it's very important to understand that Christ gave them power and sent the disciples who were with him by that time. Look at verse number, actually, if you read verse number 17, what the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. You know, it's very interesting. When you read this verse, it shows that it's that power which Christ gave the disciples to go and conquer the devils. So even us, when we receive that power, nothing the devil will do to us, because we have the power of Christ. Now, look at verse number the same chapter 10, verse number 9, what the Bible says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we go and preach this gospel, people have to know that the kingdom of God is near us. So the more we bring more about God, the more we bring about the kingdom of God.
Mm.
So we reveal the kingdom of God through making disciples and through people knowing God. Meaning when people have known God, they've known the kingdom of God, because they've understood what is in the kingdom of God. And then that is the greatest task also we should do as disciples.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Beautiful.
So maybe the last point, maybe so that we go to today's topic.
Yes.
You can also see that verse number 20 in the same book of Matthew chapter 28, reading verse 20. The Bible says, teaching them to observe these things. So as we observe these things in this task, meaning we become children of God and we become a big family. Mm-hmm. Why do we become a big family? You know, in a family, in a whatever family, we have one goal. And that goal to be in that family of God is to make discipleship.
Right.
So when we come together as disciples, when we go and make disciples, we have this goal of making the whole world be upside down to understand Christ for his soul coming.
Mm, beautiful,
sure.
Beautiful. So that leads us into the next subject, which is about investing in the next generation within the church.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Mm. Exactly. It's very important, madam, to invest in the next generation. Why? With that, you know, in this, actually, Ellen White says, Ellen G. White says,
mm-hmm.
this work of Christ or making discipleship, it will not finish just by maybe pastors or evangelists. No. Men and women, pastors and evangelists, when they come together, that's when they will finish this task. Mm. So it's very important to invest in this next generation, which is the next generation, in our children. You know, in this task, our children should not be left out.
Yeah.
In whatever programs they do, whatever things they do, one thing which should be in their mind is also to bring others to Christ. Remember, it matters less whether there are children, they are involved in this big task. Actually, their task also is to bring the young people into this big family of God. Sure, madam.
And so how can churches ensure that young people feel valued and included in the church family? I think sometimes we seem to leave young people out of a lot of programs, and we feel like they must, if they do participate, they're participating in youth programs specifically.
Yes.
How can we include them generally and make them feel valued and included?
I like this question. Actually, this is the greatest problem we have as a church, madam.
Yeah.
You can even see when the youth people have the program, maybe on Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, what we tend to do as elderly people, we don't usually attend such meetings.
Exactly.
We don't seem to support them.
Yeah.
One of the greatest way to show that we support them is to attend their meeting. We help them. We show them of what to do. You know, there are things in which we can add value also from us elderly people,
mm-hmm.
the young people, to know what they are doing. Actually, you know, the great part is, it's not just about coming to, you know, young people just coming marching every day, just singing songs. No, it's about also learning how to make disciples to young people also outside there so that they can be in the church of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, as older people, sometimes I don't know why we tend to not participate in their programs. And you can even see most of these young people, just go and see or what is there.
Yes.
You just see young people, even, you know, in their meetings, there are no elders. You know, elders try to, sometimes they put away in such kind of meetings saying, no, we are elder people, we cannot participate in such kind of meetings. You know, we, actually, it's like the church doesn't know what it's doing.
Mm.
We are to invest in this young generation so that at least the future can be better for us. And remember, these are our future leaders. These are our future leaders.
Yeah.
It's not all the time we are going to be elders and deacons, you know, in church.
Exactly.
No. We have to invest in these young people or this young generation, madam. Sure.
Mm. Mm. It's true. And so what kind of traditions or practices can we implement that would help to build a lasting culture of faith within the church from all ages?
That's very important. Actually, you know, one of the things which can help, you know, actually to build up better relationship with others. You know, like in some other churches, I've seen what people do. After the main service, they have developed a system in which they greet one another. You know, there is that such kind of introductions, you know, so that at least no one is left behind and everyone feels that he's in this big family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the issue of visitation, it's not every time, all the time we should be coming for Bible studies. You know, sometimes we should have time to go and visit our members.
Yeah.
We see how they are living. We interact with them. We see, you know, even their personal problems, you know, we attend to them. It's very important, madam. Yeah. If we develop that kind of culture, it's very helpful to our church. Sure. You can even see most of the people. I still remember there was one instance which happened. There was one member, he had a funeral. You know, the church members neglected him a bit, and then he said, the church does not help. You know, if they could just leave me like that, yeah, I'm going through all these problems. Mm. You know, he couldn't feel that he is within the family of God. So as members, we should have a culture to visit one another, to make some introduction. Actually, it's very important in some cases, like, you know, the departments like interest coordinator, we should even introduce cards, at least, you know, in which maybe a visitor, when he comes, you even write the details, the phone number, so that you even visit that person, so he or she will feel that this is a caring church and it has a vision. It has a vision.
Very
sure, madam.
Very true. And then how can members of all ages work together to ensure that the church remains a strong spiritual home for years and years and years to come?
Yes, very true, madam. Even this question. You know, it's as I have stated in the area point, you know, we should have that spirit of segregation and classifying ourselves. It shouldn't be like that, you know. You know, I have seen some areas in some churches, you know, like even during lunchtime, rich people, you could even see them seated somewhere.
Yeah.
Then poor people, they are just like that. You know, we shouldn't live like that. We should live as one member and family members, knowing that there must be no segregation amidst of us, so that we know what we are doing. Even at home, you know, such things happen. You know, there are children maybe our dependents, you know, sometimes they don't feel that they are at home, you know, because of that segregation which is there. So it shouldn't be like that even in Church of God. We should have a spirit of embracing one another, working together, uplifting one another. As a church, then you see everything going well, madam. Sure.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. And as we conclude our talk for today, Pastor, what is one thing that we can do today to help nurture and strengthen our church families for the future? Just one thing that we can point to that this is what we can do.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, madam. Thanks a lot. You know, actually, on this point, maybe I would like to talk about leaders. As leaders, you know, let's have the spirit of embracing one another. Poor, old, rich, young people, even all the people must feel that they are in Church of God. As leaders, actually, the greatest part we should do is to unite the Church of God. Remember, at one point, Christ was rebuked by the disciples and Pharisees, saying, why does he eat with poor people and the sinners? Actually, you know, as leaders, we should have a point in which we should strengthen every Jim and Jake, every member. So as a leader, learn to have the spirit of embracing one another so that people feel that the Church of God is where they are being relieved from their problems.
Yeah.
You know, it's very unfortunate, actually. Let me mention this point. It's very unfortunate. Somebody has come from his home or her home with problems, and then he or she comes in church. You even read at his face that that one has problems. You know, it shouldn't be like that. When we are before God or in the presence of God, we should actually do away with our problems, knowing that we are worshiping our God, who will finish our problems. So as leaders, we should have time to help one another so that people have right sense in worship and in the family of God. Sure, madam.
Amen. Amen. And how do we conclude this conversation, Pastor, as we come to the end of this? What are some key points from the entire conversation that we've had since Monday that you'd like each and every one of us to take home with us?
Thanks a lot. The key points, maybe I'd like to conclude as we conclude even our lessons from Monday up to today. You know, one thing I've actually, maybe I'd like to even to speak to every person is that, you know, the family of God or the family or the church of God starts from home. You know, there is no way in which you can say we are a church, then home is divided. So as members, we should know that the church starts from home. Mm-hmm. So from our homes, then we come to church in a united way. And then you see the church of God growing. Actually, many and most of the churches don't grow. Why? Because people come divided. You know, we should not be divided as members. We should not look at every person that is poor or rich and what have you. No, at least we should have the spirit of embracing one another. Remember that text which I gave the other day about James, where it says about true religion is visiting the poor, the widow, and the widowers. That is true religion. Mm-hmm. Just to say, I know God, then you don't love one another. That is nothing, madam. That is nothing. Mm. Nah, that is nothing. Mm. Actually, John says, if you say you know God, then you don't love your brother. You are a liar. Mm. You are a true liar. Because there is no way in which I can claim to know God and to love God if I don't love my brother. So I have to first to love my brother before I love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's very important.
Yeah.
Actually, these are two greatest commandments.
Yeah.
These are two greatest commandments, madam.
Oh.
So as a church of God, let's learn to embrace one another. Let's learn to help one another. Let's learn to uplift one another in whatever problems he or she is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see the church of God growing, madam. Sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor,
sure, madam.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time that we've been able to share with you throughout the last week or so. Would you please just close for us in prayer as we say goodbye?
Thanks so much, madam. Be blessed today. Shall we pray? Eternal Father God in heaven, blessed be your name, Jehovah, for your love and mercy. Want to uplift your name, Heavenly Father, in a special way. This week we have been discussing, Heavenly Father, how your church can grow, how we can be one body, how, Heavenly Father, we can uplift one's bearing. In a special way, we continue inviting your divine spirit, Heavenly Father, to guide us and help us understand how your church should be. Bless, Heavenly Father, the presenters, Heavenly Father, and bless us all who have been presenting all these lessons to our listeners. We pray in Christ's name forever and ever. Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.